Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the dark morning hours of June 6, 1944, several thousand paratroopers landed behind enemy lines in German-occupied France. Out of these numerous paratroopers, the 101st Airborne Division of the United States military became famous for many times being the first soldiers into hostile territories. They were often tasked with securing and defending areas that were heavily surrounded by the enemy. There's no doubt that courage and bravery allowed these men to overcome their fears and strike all important blows in battles that led to ultimate victory. Many casualties were suffered along the way. These men were ready and willing to make that sacrifice of their own lives for the sake of triumph. In that way, they were very much like lambs in the midst of wolves. Now, to be sure, those soldiers in the midst of battle are far more capable than lambs surrounded by wolves, as were the 72 disciples sent out by the Lord Jesus. They were grown men, ready to proclaim the kingdom of Jesus to the towns to which they visited. And Jesus called upon these men to be bold speakers of his message. Now, if his message through them was properly received, then they were free, permitted to stay in those homes, and even to oblige the payments offered to them. However, if those disciples were rejected for Jesus' sake, then they were to remove themselves from those towns, saying, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you." These disciples were not guaranteed success. Far from it. They were to expect great opposition as those going deep behind enemy lines, as sheep among wolves. And that is what they were, because that is what Jesus was. Into this great world of sin, of darkness, of complete corruption, was the Holy Lamb of God sent. Jesus was sinless. He was the light of the world, and he was without the faintest taint of corruption. His coming into this world was the greatest demonstration ever of jumping right into the midst of the enemy. He was the ultimate lamb in the midst of countless, ferocious wolves. And he was armed with the Word of God. For he was and is that very Word of God incarnate, made flesh. "Man does not live by bread alone," Jesus said, "but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And the epistles teach us that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Though, to the enemy, that sword of the Spirit looks like a mere toy, made out of cardboard, powerless indeed. But no matter, God's Word has power. It is power, able to cut even to the quick, separating soul from spirit. And even with that mightiest of weapons, the sword of his own word in hand, which he did indeed use more capably than any today could ever imagine, the Lord Jesus knew what his chief role was to be, that of the lamb in the midst of wolves. For finally, what can a lamb surrounded by wolves expect to do but die? and die, Jesus did. The Lord Jesus, God of heaven and earth, hidden in the flesh of mankind, permitted himself to die at the hands of sinful men. He allowed the sinful wolves to devour him into death. And just as the enemy assumes that the Word of God is true folly, so did Satan. And his angels assume that Jesus' death was their true victory. Yet in his suffering and in his death was sin and death's complete unraveling. The resurrection and the life gave in to death, knowing that death could not change his identity. Death would be swallowed up forever in the resurrection and the life in Jesus. Isaiah, the great prophet, gave comfort to the exiled people of God. Though they had been unfaithful to God time and time again, God remained faithful to them. And long before, God had promised to Father Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through that one man, through Abraham. Nations would come to the light of Israel, as was seen in the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus. From Isaiah 66, our text from the Old Testament today, we hear the call even to the nations, the enemies of Israel. They too will rejoice with Jerusalem. Even though they mourned over her and had rejected her, they will find their sustenance through God's chosen people. God selected the numerically few Israelites to be his people, through whom he would send the Messiah of all the world into this place. This Messiah would fulfill his mission, the mission of salvation, of winning sinners back to God. His reign and his rule would be established upon this earth forever. That is, God's own Son, the Messiah, would draw all people unto himself throughout the entire world. From Israel came the Christ, and from the Christ comes life and care for all people. Historically, the nation of Israel has always seemed to exist in the midst of wolves. That little stretch of coastal plain there on the Mediterranean that brought connection from the African continent up into Europe and into Asia was truly a coveted land. Empires sought to control Israel so that they could traverse their armies to and fro throughout that suitable region. And when the nation of Israel failed to keep God's commands, his word, as his chosen people, they suffered great consequence. They were ultimately exiled from that land, from their homeland, the promised land, with only the following generation getting restored back home. But they would never be the same again. Yes, the walls of the city were rebuilt and the temple itself restored, but the focus of their faith, of their identity, had shifted. Their piety, their goodness replaced God's grace at the center of their faith. And yet, God's Messiah would still come forth from this people, and he would take his ministry into the very heart of Jerusalem herself. Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem, as we have heard in our gospel texts. He knew his road led to the cross. It had to. For that is where the forgiveness of all sins would be bought and paid for, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood. He must be led like a lamb to the slaughter, keeping silent as the lamb before its shears. Jesus' disciples should expect the same. Jesus had said earlier in the Sermon on the Plain from Luke's Gospel, "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets." The followers of Christ Jesus, you and I alike, should expect this, even though we may never experience it. But the faithful prophets of God were often persecuted, mistreated, abused. Stephen became the first of the Christian martyrs, with many of the disciples and apostles to follow. Sacrifice as a Christian is not unheard of, and so each Christian should be duly prepared. How so? The best and really only preparation for such persecution, for such trial, is Jesus. He is the one who has gone through it all, and even more than we can imagine. No one knows the struggles of God's own people, mankind in this world, than the God who was sent into the midst of all His people Himself. No one knows what it is to be like a lamb in the midst of wolves better than Jesus does. And He continues to send His message of hope, of grace, of peace in word and in sacrament in the midst of sinners. Those among the 72 disciples of Jesus were called by Him to go out into those villages to prepare them for Jesus. Without money bag or knapsack or sandals, those men were called to share the word of repentance in Jesus with all that they meant. And that word was all that they had. That word is all that Jesus had. And it is what we still have today. Thanks be to God. And it is enough, that word of Jesus, for our salvation, for us, for all of eternity, for you, whose names are written in heaven. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.